Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The commission.
We got Uncle some Paulie, media athlete beef that we got to get to on the drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Rob Brent producing this thing. Text in the show. New phone number, 913-576-7610. Dan Orlowski of ESPN. I don't know if we're calling him friend of the show. He kind of played us during the football season. He eventually came on. The interview was fine. I don't know if I'm ready to call Dan Orlowski friend of the show.
He's somewhere between a friend and Paul Pierce.
So Dan Orlowski on his show, The Get Up, gave his opinion. He said that Damian Lillard was entitled and spoiled because Damian Lillard said that he would not play the rest of the season if his team had no chance in making the playoffs. Said he wanted to come back to play, said he was very happy to play, but if his Portland Trailblazers had no chance of making the playoffs and they were going to play just to play, that he was good, he was done for the rest of the season. He replied to Damian Lillard, to Dan Orlowski, and said this: entitled and spoiled, MF, watch your mouth. My family, my background, and my character couldn't be farther from entitled and spoiled. I said what I said. He then doubled back in the beef and said, you set out your whole career, basically. Who do we think won this round? Was it Dan Orlowski or was it Damian Lillard in some athlete media beef?
Not even close. It's very obvious. It's Damian Lillard. He buried him and then he put the dirt on him and then he buried him again. He basically called Dan Orlowski a backup quarterback his entire career, which is pretty much what Dan Orlowski was. And you don't want to bark up that tree because, look, we've got differing opinions when it comes to the future rapping career of one Bashaud Breeland and Aaron Gordon. Dame can really rap, so you don't want to piss him off. You're going to end up a bar. I just think that overall, if Dame feels this way, is he also going to give back any money that he would have made? Because if he does, then I'm cool with that. That's all I was saying yesterday. Like, let's give these guys a choice. And if they want to complain, then complain and give your money back. And if you don't want to complain, then go ahead and go out there and risk it and make a lot of money doing it. But if you're dollar sign and you decide, you know what, we're not going to make the playoffs, so I don't want to play. I mean, Damian Lillard, I just looked. He gets over $300,000 after every single game. So every one of his game checks, 82 times a year in regular season, he collects $300,000. Is he not going to play in a basketball game and then go afterwards and collect the $300,000 check? If he doesn't want to do that, then cool. I just don't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, if he's willing to forego the money, and Damian Lillard ain't been nothing but straight up in my understanding of his character. So if he says he ain't playing, I believe him in not playing. You remember the time you thought that this guy rapped better than Damian Lillard? That's Breezy. You might know him as Bashaud Breeland. Remember when you said he rapped better than Damian Lillard?
I never said he rapped better than Damian Lillard.
That's actually a worse take than you having the Chiefs go undefeated.
I never said that.
I'd much rather you have the Chiefs going undefeated than tell me that you like Bashaud Breeland's music. If I had to pick out of those two opinions which one I'm going to accept, I'd much rather accept this team's going 19-0 than this is good music. No, you should stop. No,
very,
we never want to hear that again.
Music is what it is.
It's terrible.
All I ever said about Bashaud Breeland spitting is that it's okay. Because you and Rob and everybody was like, no, it sucks.
It does.
And then you put Aaron Gordon. I did say I liked Aaron Gordon. I ain't going to lie about that one. I said Breeland was okay. I said that I liked Aaron Gordon. But don't lie to our audience out there. You know damn well that I never said he's a better rapper, either one of them, than Dame. You know that's not true. I said he's better than Shaq. I did say that.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll play a brand new edition of Google Feud. You had a question regarding the Kansas City Chiefs in comparison to our Royals.
Yeah, I think that there's a question of which was more fun? And it always comes back to which came first, in my opinion. See, you and I were kind of talking about this after the show yesterday. Could the second time ever be as sweet? Because I think most people listening, and you and I agree, that at some point, as early as this year, the Chiefs could win another Super Bowl and we could have another Super Bowl parade. I just wonder if it can ever be as exciting or fun as it was the first time around, because not to put you on blast, but I know you've told me sometimes behind closed doors that the Royals run in 2014 specifically and then rolling into 15 was one of the greatest times of your life, and certainly behind the microphone. That makes a lot of sense because they were playing at home and the ratings were great and they played here on 610 Sports Radio. It was all gravy, baby. I just think that part of the reason why the excitement got to the level that it did for the Royals and maybe the parade for the Chiefs wasn't quite at the same level is because it didn't come first. It's the same thing with anything in life. And we're not talking about KU and MU and K-State here. We essentially divide our fan base. Chiefs fans are Royals fans, and Royals fans are Chiefs fans. So I genuinely believe that if the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes came around 7 years ago, then the parade would have been all that we ever talked about in the Chiefs season. But the fact is the Royals came first. So hit us up, 913-576-7610, on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. Did you have more fun, say, in 2014/15 with the Royals run? Or did you enjoy what the Chiefs just did more? Because I think a lot of people are probably going to say the Royals, and I think that's because they came first.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the 2014 run, to me, it was more fun. It was like cheering for the 10 seed or the 11 seed in the NCAA tournament that goes to the Final Four, where in 15, obviously they won, but the run was very different and it was a lot more stressful because that's where they were supposed to be.
Expectations,
the entire season was, this team is one of the three best teams in baseball. They have to go back to the World Series to sort of validate that season. Where, I mean, once you woke up and realized that the Royals were a good team, it was a six-week stretch of dominance on the field that I've never seen before. And just the energy in the city was different. And I think a lot of it is just due to how the two organizations handle themselves. The Royals really made you feel like you were on the team. Like, they really made you feel like the city was the 26th man on the roster and that you were as successful as they were and that you were a big part of their success. That's not what I think the Chiefs did. Now, it doesn't make what the Chiefs accomplished any less. It doesn't make the comebacks any less special. And I firmly believe the Chiefs don't win that playoff game if that game is in Houston. They don't come back. They probably win the game against Tennessee just because I think they're a far better roster, but they don't come back from 24-0 on the road. And being at that game in against Houston and feeling the shift after the Sorensen play, after the Mecole Hardman, you could feel that Arrowhead magic was about to happen and something special. But I just think that the 2014 run, you're right. Some of it is due to the fact that it was first. A lot of it is due to the fact of you didn't expect it to happen. They were that 10 seed. They were that mid-major team that made the run. And I thought the Royals just did a better job of making you feel a part of it. The Royals weren't throwing parties at Power and Life that you could go to and see them and touch them. They weren't after the games going in the stands and doing those things. I just think the Royals made it a lot more intimate for the community.
It definitely has something to do with coming out of nowhere versus expectation, because that Royals team really did come out of nowhere, especially in 2014. I mean, if you maybe say, who are my favorite KU teams? I would say the national championship team in 2008. Then I'd probably say the Orange Bowl team with Todd Reesing and Aqib Talib and all those guys, because they just came out of nowhere. So that certainly has something to do with it. What if they do it again? Like, what if the Chiefs go back this year and repeat again? Do you ever think it could be twice as nice the second time around? Like, if we have a parade and do this whole thing over again, I feel like it's just like, see that anything in life, it's hard to be as exciting the second time around as it was the first.
I mean, another thing, too, I think that changes it as opposed to the Chiefs does, it was constant with the Royals. They play, it felt like every day, or at least every other day. So on Monday, they would play, they would win. We'd spend all day Tuesday celebrating that win and talking about it. Then we'd spend Wednesday talking about the game and preparing and getting ready to go to the game. That's where I think made it a lot different, where the Chiefs only played three times and there were those big gaps in the middle. We could talk about this coming up in just a little bit on the other side when it comes to, will it be the same? I do think it's going to be the same. I mean, if this is the first team to go back-to-back and win the Super Bowl for the first time in 25 years, and he does something that Peyton never did, something that Rodgers never did, something that Favre never did, I do think it's going to be special. And you're telling me going into that third season, if they win the Super Bowl this year and they're the first team in NFL history with a chance to win a three-peat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you for sure will pick them to go undefeated in two seasons if they win the Super Bowl this year, and everybody will pick them to win the Super Bowl. So I do think it can be like how it was back in 2014 with the Chiefs. Chiefs. And Mahomes is only going to get bigger and bigger. Like, he's only going to continue to be more of a star and get more opportunities, and we'll get a chance to track it as we go. I do think it can be how it was in 2014 with the Chiefs at some point. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll talk about Patrick Mahomes with Mike Giannotti, who knows NFL contracts as well as anybody. But coming up next, we got a brand new edition of Google Feud. That's next. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Mike Giannotti. He is with SpotTrack. If you're unfamiliar with what SpotTrack is, they are the premier website when it comes to NFL contracts. So Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs have begun negotiations on his deal, according to Sam Mellinger of the Kansas City Star. We'll talk to Mike Giannotti about it with SpotTrack coming up in about 10 minutes. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Do me a favor, text in the show. The new number is 913-576-7610. That is the phone line and the text line number. Go ahead and send me a text right now, and if you want to send a text, I will reply back and hope that you have a very special day. As we do every Thursday at 4:15, it is time for a brand new edition of Google Feud. Rob, hit my theme music. Google Feud is a very simple game. I go on googletrends.com and I type in things and I get the search results and we play Google Feud. Today, we have three categories. Sean, you are the first family in this game. You guys know the Family Feud rules. You get three strikes. If you don't get all of them right, Rob has the opportunity to steal. All right, we are going to do sports mics. So not Michael. People that go by the name Mike. Top six answers on the board. These are all sports related. Sean Levine. Let's play Google Feud.
How about Mike Krzyzewski?
Not what? On the board.
What?
Mike Krzyzewski not on the board, okay, according to Google Trends.
This is very questionable then.
Okay. I can show you the results.
No,
on
no, you don't
right
have to
now.
Do that. Steve Harvey never does that. Louis Anderson didn't even do that back when he used to host the show. All right, sports mics. How about Mike Piazza?
Not on the board.
Your game stinks.
It is sports mics. These are people and their top six Google results over the last 12 months. These are not people that go by Michael, people that simply go by Mike.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about cannot win with them, cannot coach with them? How about Mike Singletary?
I don't know if you were really trying.
I swear I was trying as hard as I possibly could. How is Mike Krzyzewski not on there?
Mike Tyson on there?
Oh, yeah, Tyson.
Please tell me he is.
No, Tyson's
number
on there.
One Tyson's answer, Mike Tyson.
Who else is on this silly list?
I had Mike Trout written down as well. I thought for sure you'd get rid of that one.
Number two answer, Mike Trout. Number three answer, Mike McCarthy. He is the head coach now of the Dallas Cowboys.
How is Mike McCarthy on there? There's a coach on there named Mike, and they put Mike McCarthy over Mike Krzyzewski?
These are what Americans Google.
Okay.
Number four answer, Mike Leach.
Mike Leach is on there over Coach K? This is a dumb list. It's probably because
spelling probably had a factor in this.
That's what I'm
this.
Saying. They can't spell Coach K.
And a lot of people probably just search for Coach K.
Okay, well, he still should have been on the list.
Mike Tyson, number one answer. Mike Trout, number two answer. Mike McCarthy, number three answer. Mike Leach, number four answer. Mike Vrabel, number five answer. And Mike Tomlin, number six answer of sports mics.
Yeah, that's stupid. There were literally four coaches on that Mike list. None of them can hold a candle to Mike Krzyzewski. That makes absolutely no sense. But we move on.
Green blank. Top five answers on the board, not sports, not all sports related, green blank. So not blank green.
Yeah, I understand.
Green, fill in the blank.
How about
top five answers on the board.
How about green beans?
Number four answer, green beans.
How about Green Day?
Not on the board. No Green Day. We're playing Google Feud here. Green blank. Top five answers on the board. Sean has gotten the four answer, green beans.
How about if Green Day's not on there, how about Green Bay?
Number one answer, Green Bay. Number one answer, Green Bay.
How about...
That also would include Green Bay Packers. I just eliminated Green Bay Packers as an example.
Okay, all right. How about Green... How about Green Lady Lounge? Yeah, I'm struggling here. How about... Mean Joe Green.
How could Mean Joe Green be on here?
I'm just trying to throw something out there.
Blank. It's green blank.
I know. I feel like I said all of them.
I'm going to go green apples. I'm going to go green apples.
Not on the board.
Is Green Beret on there?
You get too upset when Rob and I talk about this. Oh, Green Beret. That's a good one.
Good answer, Rob. Two in my pocket.
Steve Harvey never yells or talks down to the people.
You never watch Family Feud if you
don't. Yes,
that.
I do. He makes jokes about them. He doesn't just point and laugh and talk about their stupidity like you do. Who's on the list?
Top five answers, Green Bay. Number two answer, green tea.
Green tea.
Number three answer, green card. Number four answer, green beans you got. Number five answer, you guys see this every single day of your life, green light was the number five answer. Back to sports here, playing Google Feud on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. So this is Sports Gordon's. Every single person on this list is an athlete whose last name is Gordon. Top six on the board. Every athlete on here, their last name is Gordon. Top six answers on the board, Google Feud.
Got to start with Alex Gordon.
Number six on the board, Alex Gordon. Number six answer, Alex Gordon. Top six on the board.
One of the best athlete rappers of all time. How about give me Steve Aaron Gordon?
Number four answer, Aaron Gordon, who plays for the Orlando Magic. I believe he went to Arizona.
Oh, I got one. How about former Royal, and I think he pitched for like 12 other teams, Flash Gordon, not on there? No Flash Gordon?
No, Flash Gordon, not on the list.
Okay, how about... NASCAR racer, the Rainbow Warrior, Jeff Gordon.
Number three answer, Jeff Gordon. Top six answers on the board, athletes with the last name Gordon. These are according to Google Trends and the search results. You have the number three answer in Jeff Gordon, the number four answer in Aaron Gordon, the number six answer in Royals, future Royals Hall of Famer, left fielder, Alex Gordon. Three Gordons left, two strikes to go.
There's three Gordons left?
There are three left.
And this isn't like a Gordon Beckham. This is all last name Gordons.
These are all people with the last name Gordon.
Mike Gordon. Not Jordan, but the very famous athlete Mike Gordon. No, he wasn't on there?
No, he is not on the list.
Probably because I made him up.
I don't even know who Mike Gordon is.
Air Gordon? Never heard of him?
I have never heard of Air Gordon before.
How about... I don't know any more Gordons, bro. Oh, how about... No, what was his name? That old white... There wasn't a Don Gordon, was there? Oh, that's my uncle's buddy. He's got a garage sale going on this weekend if the weather's nice. Get out to Don Gordon's. Richmond Gordman?
How many are left on the board?
There's three left. Top six answers on the board.
Gordon from Sesame Street?
No, he's not on there. You're done. Your turn is over.
Okay.
You have given seven guesses and only gotten three of the six possible answers right.
Oh, yo, so my sister just texted in. She's not happy with me. I forgot a very obvious Gordon.
I have three Gordons written down, and I don't know which one to pick, so I'm going to go with Eric Gordon, NBA player. the national stuff. The NBA is popular. There we go.
Number five answer, Eric Gordon.
Can I guess what the other two were? I had them written down.
Go ahead.
Josh Gordon.
Number two answer.
And what about Melvin Gordon?
Number one answer.
Boom.
Melvin Gordon, number one answer. Josh Gordon, number two. Jeff Gordon, the Rainbow Warrior. Aaron Gordon of the Orlando Magic. Eric Gordon and Alex Gordon. Those are the top six athletes who have been Googled with the last name of Gordon in the last 12 months, according to Google Trends. That is another. I did my part. I didn't look at the text line. I assume they did their part. Rob did his part. I'm not sure if you did your part.
No,
sports
I didn't.
Machine
I didn't.
I'm not sure if you did.
No, my sister literally texted me and she was like, come on, Josh Gordon, Melvin Gordon. Can we be real, though, for a minute? Like, we don't usually let the people behind the scenes. What are the chances? Because C-Dot and I sit in the same studio, and Rob's across the glass. What are the chances that Rob has Google pulled up right now, and in the search bar it says athletes with the last name Gordon? Let's be dead honest. What are the chances of that?
I don't think he cheated. I trust Rob.
99.9%, like a good hand sanitizer. Rob's cheated every single time he's ever won this game. I'm just calling a spade, man.
I mean, we can have him go first, then.
Let's... We did one time, and it was worse than that one. So we can do that next time. Let's try it.
We can do it today if you want. If you call my man out two separate times today. If you don't trust the results, we can play again later.
We tried one time, and like he was the guest. He was a contestant one time, and you said Tom, and he got one right. So yeah, I'm not great at the game, but I also don't cheat.
I'll come up with some more later today, and we'll play around 5:40. We can play a quick game of Google Feud. Let's see.
It's not going to go well for Rob, but we'll do it.
He's calling shenanigans, Rob. He's saying that you're cheating.
I think everybody knows he's cheating.
We'll find out later if it's shenanigans.
Only do I get accused of cheating when I win. Sean wins. Oh, you have a computer in there. It's clean as the driven snow. But Rob wins in all cheating city.
Yeah, you're in there by yourself, bud. You got all three of them.
He can't see your computer. He ain't crawling across the desk.
He can see my hands. They're not typing anything, dude.
Coming up, we will catch up with Mike Giannotti.
You know, cheaters get real pissed off, like liars, like when they defend themselves. Like, if you didn't do it, you just kind of lay back. But if you cheated, then you're going to be real loud. Like, how can you accuse me of that? So, all right, Rob.
We'll see.
All right.
We'll see. You're calling him out. We'll see if he's cheating or not. We'll see. Mike Giannotti of SpotTrack to talk about Patrick Mahomes' contract coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in the country and around Kansas City. Thank you so much for listening on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Do us a favor. Put in the new text line number, 913-576-7610, 913-576-7610. The old text line number no longer works. If you want to text the show, 913-576-7610. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our next guest. I'm excited to talk to him. His name is Mike Giannotti. He works at SpotTrack. If you're unfamiliar with SpotTrack, they are the best website on the internet to look up NFL contract information. So today, Sam Mellinger of the Kansas City Star reported that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have begun contract negotiations. Mike, what would a Patrick Mahomes extension look like for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Oh, the world. It's going to be big. And I actually just took some time here to try to crunch some of the numbers based on what I've heard or what I'm anticipating. Look, there's some metrics that have to be hit for sure. And I understand why we're hearing this now and not a month later, because the second Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott hit their contracts, everything exponentially gets bigger for Patrick Mahomes. So just from a numbers standpoint, obviously you got to get to that $40 million mark, in my opinion, and then that also means $120 million over the first 3 years. And that's really hard to do when you're sitting here trying to crunch the numbers and also trying to keep the Chiefs cap at bay, because they've got about $3 to $4 million to work with in 2020 right now. So unless they get creative with how they structure this Mahomes extension, they're going to have to maybe extend or restructure Travis Kelce and a couple other contracts to make this all kind of come together. But that, to me, those are the big numbers. It's probably it's a four-year extension at $160 million of new money, and 120 of that lives in the next three seasons.
How much higher than $40 million a season do you think Mahomes can get? Do you think that he can really blow the current market out of the water and get to $42 to $45 million? Or do you think $40 is the ceiling for a new Mahomes deal?
$40 is the number right now, but the problem is that they're up against Bill O'Brien, and we've seen how crazy he is. He just gave his left tackle $22 million. So if Deshaun Watson goes and gets $40 there, then everything's reset, and Mahomes' baseline becomes $42 million, in my opinion. So that's what I mean. They're sort of on the clock right now, and they're running against crazy Bill O'Brien.
Right now we're talking to Mike Jannetty with SpotTrack, telling us everything we need to know about a Patrick Mahomes contract extension. Do you think there's any way that Mahomes could maybe go the Kirk Cousins route and maybe take a three-year, fully guaranteed $120 million deal as opposed to going the 4-5-year extension route?
The problem with that is the Chiefs have to be able to handle it on their cap. And like I mentioned, that they would struggle with that this year. I'm also worried about next year. Who knows what this revenue stream is going to look like, and if the salary cap actually has to go down in 2021, that's going to really bite some teams in the butt, and the Chiefs would be one of them if they make this deal now. So I absolutely love the short, fully guaranteed deals, and I hope there's more of them in the future. But with this one specifically, because you have to claim $120 million over the next 3 years, if you're going to fully guarantee that without killing yourself in the fourth year with dead cap that sits on your table, you're going to have to make it big base salaries. I'm not sure that base salaries and roster bonuses can fit into the Chiefs' current structure.
I'm curious to get your thought on how realistic it is to pay your quarterback the amount of money that the Chiefs are about to pay Patrick Mahomes here in the next 3 months, and also keep the rest of your roster stockpiled with talent. There's this belief in the NFL that you can't do both, that you can't pay your quarterback and win at a high level. How realistic is that going to be for the Chiefs as we move forward with this contract?
It's a gigantic question, and I realize that you can take it as a narrative, because you know it's an easy thing to say, but the proof is kind of in the pudding. Every single year I assess the top paid players at each position, and I see where they landed in the standings in terms of their respective teams. It generally doesn't bear out well. The highest paid wide receivers and running backs and tight ends and quarterbacks, generally you're not seeing those players with 13, 14 wins and you know, three rounds in the playoffs. So there is some analytics that point to that. And it makes sense. I mean, these are 53, 55-man rosters. You got to fit a lot of cap numbers in there. So if you're going to have somebody with a cap of, you know, upwards of 40, 45 million, which could happen, you know, I didn't get that high with my projection here with Mahomes. I got him to a high of 37 million in 3 years. So in 2022, my projection says he has a $37 million cap figure, which could be okay based on where we are from a league cap standpoint. But if you start approaching $40 million of cap for one player, it's going to be really difficult to make the rest of it all fit in.
Mike, you brought it up a little bit. What does a Patrick Mahomes contract extension look like for the guys that are currently on the roster? Does that mean you need to do a restructure with Tyrann Mathieu? What do you do with Travis Kelce? We can get to Chris Jones in a little bit. But for the guys that are currently on the roster, what do you think a Patrick Mahomes contract restructure looks like for their deals?
Yeah, you hit it. I think Matthew's a perfect example because he's shown that he's going to be here for two more years at least. You could restructure that current base salary. Probably drop yourself $4 to $5 million right there. You've already done some work on Sammy Watkins. You could possibly do some more work there, by the way. Kelce's an X factor because he's hitting that 30-year age mark. So, you know, for tight ends, it starts to drop off a little bit from here, but he's high. He's over $11 million in cap right now, and he's actually less in cap left next year on his contract year. So you've got some wiggle room there. Maybe you can push some cap from this year into next year and just leave it right there. That's essentially what the Minnesota Vikings did with Kyle Rudolph, which I liked. So I think between Travis Kelce and Matthew, you get yourself a good start. But really, extending Chris Jones can probably free up the most cap in the next couple of weeks.
Let's start there. Right now we're talking to Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack for a couple more minutes when it comes to Chiefs contracts. In the news today, we got about Patrick Mahomes. What does a Chris Jones contract extension look like, in your opinion?
It's big. I mean, he's the second tier of Aaron Donald right now because he's shown that he can work outside. He's shown that he can work inside. He can run stuff around a pass pressure. His stats fill up the board when you put him into a calculation like we do. We've got him right at that $20 million mark, basically, a little bit less. But all things considered, with a rising salary, he's a $20 million guy. So, you know, you've got him out of $16 million cap and cash tag right now. That's not going to work if you're trying to get other pieces in the puzzle right now. So you can make it work, push that out another 3 to 4 years, similar to what I'm speaking to with Mahomes, and really just half it. If you got to throw a couple of bonuses in there to spread out the dead cap a little bit and make the cap figures lower, you do it. But I think $20 million is the mark for Chris Jones. And it was 18 last year, by the way. So they sort of shot themselves in the foot by waiting.
They absolutely did. And we see time and time again that if you make the decision to pay a player, you should make the decision sooner rather than later. There isn't any other team in the NFL that has that level of cap space tied into two players on their defensive line. Do you think that's a good strategy to have that much money tied up into Chris Jones and Frank Clark?
It's a great point. It's a really great point because there's a couple of teams that are going to have to decide if they're willing to do that or not in the next couple of years. And I just don't know. This is such an offensive league right now. If you're shown that you're paying Tyreek Hill, you've already paid Travis Kelce pretty top money, and you're going to have the highest contract in the history of football with your quarterback, you're going to have to take some levies elsewhere. I don't know if the defensive line is the right place to do that, because it's probably the second most important position when you're talking about the quarterback versus the defense. So I can understand a guy like Chris Jones, who is an X factor, getting this kind of money. And then you could probably strip down from there behind him.
What do you think is more likely this offseason, that the Chiefs extend Chris Jones or that he plays under the franchise tag and that he moves on at the end of this season?
If they're going to extend Mahomes, they have to extend Chris Jones or trade him. I know I've heard nothing about them trading him. I don't imagine that they're going to trade him. But I guess it's not out of the question, because that would certainly solve their financial problems right now. That would free up enough space to do everything they want to do right now without damaging too much elsewhere. I just don't know from a football standpoint if that's the right move. I think one hand has to feed the other there. I don't think you can live with his franchise tag and a new Mahomes deal and make it all come together nicely.
My argument would be is if they were going to trade Chris Jones, it made all the sense to do it before the NFL draft. At this point, you got to be fully committed to what you're going to do in 2020. So he either has to get the long-term extension, or you're making the decision to franchise tag him and then wait and see what happens next year, and he probably moves on, like what we saw what happened in San Francisco. But I don't think that moving him is an option now that we've reached this part of the NFL calendar.
It's fair, and there's only a few teams that can really afford to take on that tag via trade anyway without redoing that deal right away. So I agree with you. Most rosters are in place right now, and really there's only a couple of free agents out there who are going to be X-Factors, like Jadeveon Clowney and Logan Ryan and that. So you throw this into the wrinkle, and it's probably too little too late, which might be, you know, the storyline with a bunch of these contracts with the Chiefs of late.
And that is Mike Giannotti with SpotTrac joining us on the show to give us the latest on Patrick Mahomes' contract. I'm sitting here looking at the text line just a little bit. Now, I understand that this is kind of one of those things that we are supposed to know more than the average fan. We're supposed to study it. But there's some things we need to just get out of the way when it comes to the franchise tag, the salary cap, and all of those different things. Patrick Mahomes and his agent have made it very clear that they want to be the highest paid player in the history of the NFL. Right now, that player is Matt Ryan at a $150 million contract. So that is the starting point. Any contract that you throw out there that's less than $150 million, I do not think that is one that Patrick Mahomes is going to sign. And if you look at some of the other guarantees that we've seen over the course of deals. So Jared Goff, he got the most guaranteed money in the history of the NFL at $110 million. That's the starting point. So 150 overall is the starting point for any contract that involves Patrick Mahomes, and $110 million in guaranteed money is the starting point when it comes to his contract. Any other number, any other figure that you throw out does not make any sense, and it does not apply in this conversation. He is not signing a contract. If I am his agent, I would not let him sign that contract for anything that starts less than that. The starting point for Patrick Mahomes is $36 million. Russell Wilson makes $35 a season. That's the starting point. Why would I accept a dollar less than Russell Wilson? I am 7 years younger than him. I am just as accomplished than him. I am a better player than him. So that's the starting point. I've been saying this entire time. I think the floor is $200 million. I don't think that he signs a contract unless he's going to sign that Kirk Cousins deal. That's a fully guaranteed 3 years, $125 million deal. I don't think you get him for less than $200.
Why would your starting point be 36, though? Because that's $1 million more than Russell Wilson makes. I mean, that's how it's worked in the past, but we know that he's $1 million more, better than Russell Wilson. And then you look at the other guys. Matt Ryan makes $30 million annually. Kirk Cousins makes $28 million. So if we're talking about paying Patrick Mahomes $10, $12 million more per year, he's $10 or $12 million better than those guys per year. Jimmy Garoppolo, the fifth highest paid quarterback at just under $28 million. Here's the thing about Pat. He's done so many things that the league has never seen. I feel like we run in this conversation every day. We're like, well, who can we compare him to? Jordan? Could compare him to LeBron? Dan Marino? Like, there's really nobody to compare the success that he's already had and the accomplishment. So to start at 36, to me, is foolish. Just to say, well, that's how it works. You start at $1 million higher than the next guy, maybe $2 million. Start at $5 million more. Start at $10 million more, because that's what he's worth, which is why, back to what I was saying earlier, even though Dak Prescott's trying to get his long-term money this offseason also, and so is Deshaun Watson, and both those guys are going to be in the same neighborhood as Pat, but not on the same block, not even close. So I don't really think that it matters if Deshaun Watson ends up getting $38 million a year, a couple million more, and then Dak gets $39 million a year. I don't think Pat's worth 40. I think there's just a number that he's worth, and I would actually start that somewhere between probably 42 and 45 because we all know damn well the Chiefs are willing to pay whatever he asks.
I don't think that that's going to be how his contract's going to be structured if he's going to get this unprecedented deal. I'm not saying that he won't get an unprecedented deal, but being the first $200 million player in the history of the NFL when the highest right now is $150 is pretty unprecedented that you got $50 million more than whoever is in second place, and that would break the structure right now that exists for quarterback, and it would stay broken because you're better than every other quarterback. The only way I think he gets the money that you're talking about is if he does something that no other player in sports has, and his salary is directly tied to what the salary cap is going to be. If the salary cap is going to explode at some point once we get post-corona, and then he says, cool, hey, I'm willing to take a little bit less now, but I want to make at least 17% of whatever the Chiefs' salary cap is moving forward. So 1 year, his number can be $31 million. The next year, it can be $47 million based on what the salary cap's going to be. That's the only way I think he's going to break the model. If not, I think what the Chiefs are offering at $200 million would be a pretty fair deal. Hey, we're going to offer you a five-year extension for $200 million. We're going to give you $140 million guaranteed. We give you more guaranteed money than any other player in the history of the league. We're going to give you more upfront money than any player in the league. And your lump sum, and I imagine you'll hit a lot of those bonuses, is going to be more than any other player in the league. That's fair to me on both sides. If Mahomes and you want to be here, you sign that deal, you give the Chiefs some flexibility, and you're the highest paid player to ever play in your sport. I would sign that contract if I'm him.
The thing about that is it's only fair for the time being. And we know that the world keeps moving and the money keeps moving and getting bigger, not smaller. So in the third year of his contract, there are going to be guys that make more money than Patrick Mahomes. That doesn't make sense. Pat's the best quarterback in the league. So you're talking about doing something that the league has never seen and being outside the box and not just taking a flat amount, but taking a percentage of the salary cap. If Lee Steinberg and Patrick Mahomes can convince the Chiefs to do that, why wouldn't you? Like, if you can make top dollar and basically secure yourself that you're never going to be underpaid every time your contract comes up, then that's absolutely the move to make. I would either do that if I was Pat, or I would just keep signing a series of two-year contracts if the Chiefs are willing to do it, because that way you make sure that in the third or fourth year of what would be the contract you're talking about, there's not four or five quarterbacks that are making more money than you, because they shouldn't be.
I think what the more interesting conversation is out of the interview and regarding the Chiefs contract is, man, are they a team that's going to be able for a prolonged period of time have the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, which they are going to have, and they're going to be the only team in the NFL to have two defensive linemen that make $20 million a season, and what's that going to look like for the rest of the team? At some point, Travis Kelce's going to want a raise. At some point, Travis Kelce's going to want more money. At some point, you might have to do something with Tyrann Mathieu and some of the other players on the team. What does that look like? Because right now, the one thing that the Chiefs have for them, aside from Patrick Mahomes, is, man, their roster is as strong as everybody else's in the NFL. Yeah. I just don't know if that's going to be the case if you're going to have so much of your salary cap tied into basically six players.
Well, do you know something that we don't know? Because as of right now, they're going to have to flip that money this year. It's going to be like 18 and a half for Chris Jones and the other guy you're talking about, Frank Clark. But after that, we don't know if they're going to have to pay Chris Jones that money. We don't know if he's going to be on the Chiefs. So we'll see. And also, this is Brett Veach's job. Like, this is when you really, let's face it, Brett Veach took over a pretty advantageous situation where Pat was the quarterback and Tyreek Hill was already on the team and Travis Kelce was on the team. He just had to make something good great. Well, once you pay Pat, the job becomes much, much more difficult. So I think that if you're the Chiefs, you pay him whatever dollar sign he asks, and then you worry about all those other things. And maybe it does mean restructuring Travis Kelce's contract, and maybe it means you can't flirt with guys like Sammy Watkins in the future. But I don't think that there's one Chiefs fan out there listening right now that thinks that upsetting Patrick Mahomes or not giving him exactly what he asked for is a good idea. Because it's not. Because the Chiefs give themselves a chance to keep winning Super Bowls as long as they've got Pat. Do they have a better chance if they've got a ton of talent surrounding him? Absolutely. But the truth is, if they've got Pat and Pat's healthy, they got a chance to win a bunch of these things.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City and around the country. Mike Tyson continues to cry out for help. Here is, listen to this, David Arquette. Yes, the David Arquette from Scream, Officer Dewey, gives us an update on one of the baddest men on the planet.
Oh, did they announce who it was?
No. Well, I thought it was going to be Evander Holyfield. That Mike Tyson. They've been talking about Tyson, Evander Holyfield. That's what the rumors have been.
No, I know who it is.
Would you do? Whoa. You know who it is. Wait, who? Give us a hint. Let's play mystery guess.
When it's going to be.
Let's play mystery guess with David Arquette.
Let's start with the date, and we'll work backwards. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Look at you dropping info.
I know.
This is really going to happen.
This is called excitement. This is called hype. This is building it all up.
David Arquette, now turning into Don King when it comes to promoting Mike Tyson fights. Did you guys see yesterday that Mike Tyson was on, not WWF, not WWE, he was on something called an AEW with Chris Jericho, who I would have sworn to you was no longer a wrestler yesterday. He's like ripping his shirt off and flexing in front of Chris Jericho. How many times do I need to tell you guys this is a cry for help? And you guys are sitting here encouraging Mike Tyson. He's a 54-year-old man who's about to box, and he's on AEW wrestling with Chris Jericho. This ain't 1998. This ain't Buzz at the Beach. He's not joining the NWO or Shawn Michaels and Triple H back when they had X-Pac in China.
Okay, well, he's only 53.
Why are you guys condoning this
behavior
not 54. From Mike Tyson?
The WWF hasn't been a thing for like 20 years, so let's just get that straight.
What is AEW? Honestly, what is AEW? What is it? What channel does it come on? Have you ever seen it before?
Hang
on,
I'm trying to figure it out.
Tyson going on there?
The W has to be wrestling. I got that far. The E, I think, would be entertainment. Let me go with America's. I think that it's American Entertainment Wrestling.
I think it's all Extreme Wrestling. Oh.
I think it's like all that's Elite Wrestling. I think that's what it is. We'll look it up. I'm not sure. I think it's all Elite Wrestling. Honestly, God, tell me why 53-year-old Mike Tyson is doing this. Can we agree if this was any other athlete, we would assume that they're crazy or broke?
Or bored. I think he's bored. I think that he's tried this weed thing. I think that people remember him losing his last couple of fights. He's not broke. He's got a lot of money.
How do we know this?
Because I saw what he's doing in the weed game.
I'm just saying, can you admit that he is acting like someone who is hard up for funds?
He's either broke or he's bored. I think that he's bored.
Because let's be honest here. Let's just pick a random athlete. Let's assume Vince Young was doing all of the stuff that Mike Tyson was doing. We'd be like, yo, Vince Young's broke. If Vince Young was doing the exact same things that Tyson
I don't
doing,
feel like you just picked a random athlete, though.
I just was thinking of somebody. You can pick whoever. Matt Leinart. What if Matt Leinart was doing everything that Mike Tyson's been doing over these last 2 months?
I'm going to say
we
bored.
We would assume that Matt Leinart is struggling for cash. That's what we would assume. How many is Mike any different?
How many different guys, though?
Why is Mike about to come back? He was about to fight. I was reading a story. I'm trying to find it here on my Twitter account. He is going to fight a Japanese journeyman boxer for $1 million. That's who Mike Tyson is about to fight? And you guys are excited about this?
Well, don't buy into that crap because, honestly, I've heard that he's going to fight that guy you're talking about. I've heard that he's going to fight Evander Holyfield, Holyfield Tyson 3. I heard he's going to fight a couple of my UFC guys. I heard he's going to fight Tito Ortiz. I heard he's going to fight Vanderlei Silva. You know who should fight? Do you remember when, what's that punk kid's name, that blonde kid, that California, he's rich, he fought KSI, you know, Logan Paul. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. That's who he should fight. That kid thinks he can box, go out there. You know Logan Paul, you can roll your eyes at me. When he fought that KSI dude, it sold out Staples Center. So people would watch it, especially to watch Mike Tyson kick that kid's ass.
Okay, I just want to point out, you think Mike Tyson one of the greatest athletes of all time, right?
Yeah, sure.
Rob, you think Mike Tyson one of the greatest athletes of all time?
Yeah, I'll say that, yeah.
We're now cool with one of the greatest athletes of all time fighting YouTube kids?
If he's 53 years old.
That's what we're asking him to do? What's next for Mike? Is he going to be on TikTok? Is he going to be a Vine star? Is he going to be doing those little karaoke videos? That's what you guys want from Mike Tyson? I never thought I would see the day that O.J. Simpson appears to be cooler than Mike Tyson.
I didn't say that he should get on Snapchat. I said that he should kick the kid's ass.
Can you admit right now that O.J. Simpson appears to be cooler than Mike Tyson? Just based on how O.J.'s been acting, and obviously, O.J. is a creep. O.J.'s been a lot cooler than Tyson the last 2 years. A lot cooler than Mike.
Based on...
Have you even seen him on social media? He ain't out here doing this foolishness.
Hey, Twitter world, it's O.J. Yeah, if one of the two is broke and hard up on money, I'm pretty sure it's the juice.
O.J. ain't acting like it. OJ's not out here saying, hey, I'll fight this YouTube kid.
Hold on. You don't really think the Juice has a bigger bank account or even close to Mike Tyson's, do you?
He's not moving like he doesn't.
Dog, it's not OJ. Close.
Every time
I don't even do the research to say this. It's not even close.
Every time I see OJ, he's out here playing golf and
minding
his own business.
He robbed somebody of his own stuff. Like, that's how bad he needed back his own items. He's not doing well financially.
I'm talking about today in 2020.
He owes the Goldman family like $100 million.
Who's moving like they're broke? Who's moving like they want to be more relevant in 2020?
He's
OJ
bored.
Or Mike?
Mike's bored. He's not broke. He might be high, allegedly, but he's not broke.
Coming up next, we'll get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.